you can't manufacture that type of connection. It's really powerful when you give places for people to connect as humans. That's what comes out of it. And that is, at the end of the day, what community is all about.
Hello, and welcome everyone to the Retention Rethink podcast, a mini series brought to you by the Customer Success Collective and Gainsight. I'm your host, Courtney Hauser, VP of Go-to-Market Transformation here at Gainsight. For those of you joining us for the first time, this is a series all about rethinking customer retention, not just preventing churn, but building life cycles that grow loyalty and revenue. And today's episode, I'm extremely passionate about. We're focusing on the power of community, how it should be central to your customer success, advocacy, and retention strategies. And with me, I have an amazing guest, our guest of honor, Jenny Asaba, head of community at Jamf, which is home to one of the largest and most vibrant tech communities out there, Jamf Nation. Jenny, thank you so much for being here today. Before we get started, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Jamf, who your customers are, and what your role encompasses.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Like you, I love this topic, so I think we're going to have a really good conversation. Community is a passion area, not just because it helps your organization, but it really can span in all aspects of your life. So there's a lot of different topics and things that we can talk about that make an impact. So as you said, I oversee community at Jamf. That means that I am responsible for our public community, Jamf Nation, as well as our advocacy program, Jamf Heroes. We have a user group program that falls under my umbrella. We have about 50 user groups globally, as well as a number of just other small customer interactions across the company. And we are headquartered in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Jamf is an Apple management and security software solution. So we really help any organization from schools, hospitals, government agencies, any org that has a lot of Apple devices and needs securing of those devices, they use Jamf.
Wow, that is a broad scope. You have built some truly massive and engaged communities. So let's start at the foundation of all of that. If you were to start today to grow community at scale, where would you start?
Yeah, it's a good and really important question, one that a lot of new community managers are asking. And I always tell them, listen to your customers. Number one, you figure out who your customers are, which hopefully they know from a start, but really start having engaging conversations and ask them, what are they looking to get out of a community? What kind of interactions do they want with their fellow customers and with your organization? And start building from there. Too often community managers, you know, they get out what they dream is going to be a fabulous roadmap. They start planning out what they think will be the dream community, and they don't engage with their customers first to actually find out if that's what they're looking for. So it sounds really basic, it sounds rudimentary, but I always advise people go out and talk to your customer base, ask them what they're looking for, and then go from there. And then from there, pay attention. Their needs are going to change, their wants are going to change, how they engage with each other is going to change based on lots of different factors. So pay attention and continue to iterate.
I think it's so important. I've seen it too, where you get so excited as a community manager talking about strategy and truly like starting to engineer something versus gardening something that really grows organically. And it's such a valid point that you make about staying flexible. I feel like community leaders often have to test and learn. And I've certainly learned that not every experiment works, that sometimes small ones make a huge difference. So tell us maybe a little bit more about like a small community experiment that you launched quickly that made a real difference.
Courtney, I giggle a little bit because I frequently come to the community with, I have an idea, and they know that it's just going to come up. Some ideas are great. Some don't always land. The idea that landed really, really well came in 2020. We all know what happened during that time. And one of our customers just said, hey, Jenny, is there a way to connect us virtually? Of course there is. The pandemic had hit. people were struggling mentally, emotionally. They didn't know where to go. They didn't know where to connect. They didn't have a really strong outlet. And many of our community members are the only person who understands what they do at their organization. They're the only person who does their role. So they were feeling incredibly segmented and really alone during that time. So that's when we started virtual meetups. I said, yeah, let's get together once a month on a Zoom call. Nothing crazy. Put together a basic agenda that we still follow all these years later. And those virtual meetups are to date one of the highlights of our customer advocacy program. We continuously ask them, what's the one thing that you really love? And they, human connection. Mm-hmm. And we can't stress enough, I mean, human connection now, it feels kind of like similar scenario that we experienced then. There's a lot of people just hurting, really uncertain about what's going on. They want that human connection. They want it to be a positive space. They want to feel like they can lean on others. You can do that through virtual meetups. So one of the simplest things to get started, and we're 8 years in, it's still one of their favorite aspects. So simple experiment launched, went really well, and continues to be really strong for us.
That's such a great reminder. I think that community isn't just about technology. It's about creating spaces and experiences that feel human. And I think that's one of the hardest parts about running a large online community, right?
You've probably joined a customer community that felt quiet. Then there are the ones that click, where people share wins, trade ideas, and actually learn from each other. That's what Gainsight Customer Communities was built for, a connected space where engagement turns into loyalty and growth. By the way, we've dropped a link in the show notes for something you'll want to see. It's Erica Kuhl's on-demand session, Community Reimagined. She's the original architect behind Salesforce's community, and now she's breaking down how connection and education together drive real ROI. Go watch it at gainsight.com/rethink. Links right there in the show notes. With Gainsight, you can finally treat every customer like your best customer.
So when you're thinking about how do you create these spaces, like groups, roundtables, your virtual meetups mm-hmm. that foster customers helping each other, like how do you think about going about those strategies?
Yeah, it really goes back to how to start. Again, what are your customers looking for? What do they need? And there is no one-size-fits-all answer for this. As people in the community space know really well, you need to provide what I call a menu of options. So you have to create many, many different spaces for different types of interactions. Some people want to interact in person through a user group meeting. Some want to be virtual. Some want to hide behind their keyboard, ask and answer questions. Those are all okay. They're all great. You need to pay attention to what your specific community is looking for. And don't just lean into one thing. Really provide that big variation of items. So a few things that I will call out that have worked super well for us were, number one, our customer advocacy program. I'm really proud of Heroes, not just for how it has served the organization, which it has done brilliantly, but really about the human connections it's made. And this is actually very timely because of bringing humans together is always a huge focus. That's when you get strength in community, is when they feel like they're developing real friendships and real genuine relationships, not just because they can answer each other's technical questions, but because they genuinely like each other. And we just came back from our user conference where we had 2,000 people together. I'm kind of riding that high of being with customers for a week. And coming back this morning, I was going through our forum and reading that right away, one of our members posted that he returned home from the user conference and found out his son had type 1 diabetes. And this is a customer who routinely puts in a motivational post within the Hero space. And he just wrote this very open, real post that said, the motivational Monday post is going to have to wait. He said, I'm suffering a little bit. And it was so heartwarming to see the community just come right out and say, you know what, you've got this, he's got the parent he needs, because they knew him. They got to know this person over the years. And then the thing that just like, oh, brought tears to my eyes, and I have a visual for you. So we gave away these packs. These were just like a little giveaway, a little conference revival kit, if you will. This is our Heroes logo. And this community member said, I wrote this down. He said, I told my little man he has an entire community behind him. That's what this logo was for. He's a superhero. It's like, wow. It was made just for him. You can't manufacture that type of connection. It's really powerful when you give places for people to connect as humans. That's what comes out of it. And that is, at the end of the day, what community is all about. It's why I love customer advocacy. It's why I love creating different spaces for different people depending on how they want to interact. So off of that,
wow. I mean, what a like an incredible story to be able to share with us today. So, oh my gosh, like, first of all, thank you for that. Just as you were talking, I just kept thinking about this saying that I say to our community managers a lot about having feeling the hands on your back, you know, and that was the experience that your teammate felt or that your community member felt today. And you're right. It the power of personal connection goes beyond the power of like professionally, like anything related to like how you're helping each other through community, et cetera. So it's incredible. That's such an incredible story.
Yeah, I mean, it's one tiny example of what we continue to show. And it's not also, when I talk about customer advocacy programs, obviously I'm very passionate about them because they are one of the best ways to create relationship building like that. But through user groups, we had people at this, you know, at our user conference coming from all over the globe. We have nearly 50 user groups globally. And it's another example of how you can create that connection, because through user groups, you can create in-person or virtual events. Right. They can be geo-specific. They can be industry-specific. They can be topic-specific. You can really curate meaningful groups based on what your customers want. Again, if you're paying attention to what they need. And it's why community is so hard. As well as exciting, there's so many opportunities for human connection. So I will digress on that one, but you know, there's a lot of strings you can pull. Just pay attention to the community and they'll tell you what they need.
Absolutely. And as you're thinking through like how to really give back to your community members, to those people who obviously are giving back every day to you all and sharing and amplifying within the community, do you have a ritual or a celebration that you've seen that really sparks that advocacy?
You're not going to love my answer on this, because I feel like I've had so many conversations where people ask, especially newer people, and they want that one thing. Like, what's that silver bullet? What really makes them write the review or join the reference call? And my answer is always like, put them first. That's the magic bullet. Is you put your customers first. You show them that they are at the center. You show them that you are building for them, not for yourself, and hoping they'll like what you build. You are giving them opportunities to provide feedback on your organization and how they get to engage with it. So you're inviting them to UX planning sessions or completing feature requests. You're letting them behind the curtain so they feel like they're an extension of your organization. They feel like they're part of the brand. That's when they give back. Yeah. Do they love swag? Our customers do. They wear it. They show up like Joey and Friends, you know, the episode where they can wear all the things. They do that all the time. Yes, they will always love that. If you're like me and you absolutely love gifting, that's your love language, they're going to love a surprise and delight. But none of that matters if you're not actually showing them they matter as an organization. So that is, to me, the number one thing that you focus on is you show customers that you're paying attention to them, you build for them, and you iterate based on their feedback to you, and then they will do everything else because
Absolutely.
They care.
Yeah, no, that it's you're so right. I think advocacy always starts with trust, right? And inclusion is just so important, such a part of that, in being able to showcase that their voice matters, their company matters, and that you're listening. when you invite people to be insiders, how do you decide like who gets included and what do they get in return?
Yeah, that's a good question. And that's one that's shifting. We've seen the change in how customer advocacy programs launch, how they operate, what they focus on. This is something that I've changed. For the very first time this year, we actually had a nomination process, or I should say an application process. They had to apply. They had to go out and say, this is how I've helped the community. Because in my mind, if you're saying you are one of the most passionate customers we have, you should be able to prove that in some way. And then you get these elevated experiences and recognition from our company. So that's not how we did in the past. We had more of an open door policy where if anybody is like, I want to be a Jamf hero and come into this advocacy program, we let them in. And we found that that gets in people who want to check out the new shiny thing. And it's fine. Everybody wants to check out the new shiny thing, but it takes away from the people who aren't going the extra mile. And that was the really big change for me where I said, we're going to do applications this year because I want the people who are in this program to be able to stick it on their LinkedIn, to be able to show their boss. They got into a program that not very many people got into because they earned it. And that was something really important. And that also was part of our shift of just how we run advocacy as a whole is we focus specifically on helping our customers attain more of their personal brand. How can we help them build their personal brand? So they as an individual, not as a customer organization, but how can they succeed more? How can they go to their boss and say, look at this recognition I got, and help them find their next role and climb the ladder if they so choose. And that is our focus for our advocacy program. And so far, I think it's doing really well. And I'm excited because they deserve that recognition.
Absolutely. We similarly have what we have called our CSOps Product Council that goes through a very similar process at Gainsight. It's a nomination process from the community. Community members can nominate others as well as you can apply to yourself. And it's really like just sparked such great just interaction between our product teams and these members and seeing them excel in their careers because of this designation as the council. Mm-hmm. Like it's like just what brings like such delight to the program of just seeing how much it can help them. Yeah. And so you're just so right, like putting them first and helping them both professionally and personally and amplifying their voices through this recognition is just, it's so powerful, very powerful. Yeah. One of the biggest opportunities with communities is really taking what members say and feeding it back into the business. So what's one example of community insights changing a roadmap or a customer program that you've put into place?
Yeah, well, this is very timely again, because we shifted our entire community onto Gainsight just earlier this year. So that is 13 plus years, 300,000 plus comments, 150,000 members. It was a big lift to move a legacy community onto a new platform. And again, I approached that with how I approach anything within community of just asking our community what they were looking for and paying attention to what they did. So I kind of say there were both like verbal and nonverbal feedback that came into our decisions. Number one, nonverbal, anything they were doing within the community before helped drive decisions for the new community. We had multiple product forums in our previous community. 97% of all traffic went to one forum. What did that tell me? Okay, we're going to have one forum moving forward. One forum. Great. Easy. That was loud and clear. We brought in our customers even before I showed my fellow colleagues. I said, here's an early look at what we're building. What do you think? They commented on colors. They commented on layout. They provided feedback about how they would interact with the site because, again, it's building for them. It's not building for us. So we launched that until the 4th of July. It went live and they contributed to everything that it came out to be. And I couldn't have been just more excited to bring them along for that ride. And then, of course, when it launched, they were excited because they got to help build it.
Yeah.
That's part of the magic.
Absolutely. Like having them have skin in the game, it makes such a difference. And just like, helps amplify just the, how important it is to really build for them alongside them when there's opportunity to do that. So let's take a turn the tables a little bit from like what works to what doesn't. Every great community leader has a few lessons learned. So what's something that you have stopped doing that has improved the overall experience?
Yeah, there's a couple of big ones. I've been overseeing community for a long time now. And like you said, we all learn because sometimes our customers very vocally tell us what we're doing wrong, or just engagement metrics tell you what you're doing wrong. I would say number one, don't always listen to leadership. Sorry. But you pay attention to customers. Again, like I sound like a broken record saying that, but they tell you what they need. You have to pay attention. One of the biggest killers you can do of community involvement and engagement over time is developing a very strict roadmap and staying to it because you love your roadmap. Like, I have a beautiful, pretty roadmap. I'm going to stick with this. Don't do that. You have to plan for the future, but continuously challenge yourself. Is what your plan is, does that actually match up with what your community needs? And a lot of times I say don't listen to leadership because they don't always know. They don't always have those granular conversations that you and community are constantly having with your community members or seeing community members have with each other. So that's really important. So trust your gut, pay attention to the community. The other thing is, we fell into this early on. I vow never to do it again. Community becomes a space where everything lands. I'll just put it that way. It becomes a space where, I don't know where this cool asset or where this group of, documentation should be. Stick it in community. How often do we see that? You probably see it constantly. That is not helpful. That's not helpful. It creates a space that is confusing, chaotic. Your community members don't know where to go. They don't know why things are there. It just doesn't make sense anymore. But it's easy for it to happen because you have this beautiful public space. It has a captive audience that wants to be there. So it feels very natural to put this and this and this in that space. That dilutes the purpose of your community and it creates confusion for your customer base. So don't do that. We learned that the hard way. We stripped a ton out when we shifted to Gainsight. It's worked well for us. So that's what I would lean into.
I always question, and in a very positive way, whenever I get approached with something like that, about what are we trying to achieve, right? Like, what outcome are we trying to solicit or elicit by putting this content, new forum, etc., in community? And what impact is it going to have? As you're thinking about launching a new community and you just went through that entire process, what is your like minimum viable play look like? And what's one metric that you would really highlight to executives on the board per se and why?
Ooh, those are good and they're hard, as you know. That's why they're left to the end. One thing to focus on is you have a way for customers to interact with each other. It sounds so simple. If you have customers, you have a community. I feel like I've said that time and time and time again. You have customers, you have a community. You just may not be recognizing them. Providing a simple space for people to interact. It doesn't matter if it's a Zoom call once a month. It doesn't matter if it's Slack or if it's a more formalized community platform. Customers need and want to start getting together. And in the beginning, they may need a little bit of, they may need a little guidance. They may need a few of those, like, here's my random question that you're all going to answer about what flavor of ice cream you like. They might need some of that, and that's fine. But that's how they start developing relationships with each other. So just provide a way for customers to interact with each other. That is the start of community. It's that simple. When it comes to metrics as in community, as you know, are tough. They're tough because, again, leadership, depending on which org you're at, all views them differently. They have different outcomes that they want from community. Some want support deflection on your customer support team. Repeat. Others don't want that at all. I've worked for both. Some of them want to see more engagement. They just care how many people are coming into your community and doing something. I think the most valuable, it's very hard to come down with one. I'm gonna call this, I don't know if this is a metric that exists, but the happiness score. I'm gonna say the happiness score because it includes a few of the things that I think really matter. Number one, are community members more likely to renew and less likely to churn? They are. You can prove it. You can show that over time. That is a number that your customer success leader wants to see. Are they less likely to churn because of their involvement in community? Yes. Do they have a higher NPS scores or whatever metric you are using? Are they actually showing and telling you that I am a happier customer because I have involvement in community? Again, that's another easy one. Are they more likely to participate in other org offerings that provide value to your company? So these are things like beta programs, a customer advisory board, reference calls. You need these things. Companies do not grow and they are not successful if they don't have customer feedback and input. We all know the stats around reference calls. You get a happy customer on a reference call. It's going to do very well over one that isn't there. So what does that look like? Those members who are involved in community are going to have higher engagement across the org in ways that help your organization grow and be more successful. So that is definitely not one, but I would say overall happiness score, and you look at those different engagement metrics in ways that are meaningful to the company, those are much easier to prove. And they always come back to say, yes, community involvement makes a difference. Point blank, end of story.
I love that. Happiness as a metric. It's incredible. It's a big bundle of everything that matters, like you said. NPS, retention, impact on engagement. What a wonderful strategy, though, to end on. Jenny, this has been an energizing conversation. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. I feel like we could go on for hours.
I think so.
There's so much behind the scenes at Jamf Nation. So thank you again so much for sharing. And our listeners, thank you for tuning in. The Retention Rethink podcast has one more episode. This is episode 3 of our 4-part series. So stay tuned for that final episode next week, brought to you by the Customer Success Collective and Gainsight. And feel free, you can connect with both Jenny and me on LinkedIn. We'd love to keep the conversation going. We were talking before we joined about that we could go deep on so many of these topics. So if you've got questions that we haven't answered or you want to go deeper, hit us up. And until next time, take care, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.